page Samachal from Eretz Yisrael. See if you, from this parak till the end of the sefer, of Kuki is really laying out his tachnit, his program. And it begins with Rosei Torah, Pnimius HaTorah. All of the issues that come up and the feelings that, people have, beginners and so on, in trying to connect to Pnimius HaTorah, which Rav Kook saw as the solution for all of the generation's problems, from Aleph till Saf, to learn Rosei Torah, Pnimius HaTorah, deep in Torah. He saw this as the solution to all of the generation's problems. Until his last breath, he was crying about how it's being neglected, how it's being ignored. And therefore, it would be it's really the centerpiece of the entire sefer, this parak. Afterwards, he tells us the Indian of Teres Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to talk about. And Mitzvah Moslan Shulis, I want to talk about that Indian. I already thought it. I was thinking about this last night. Maybe make Chelik Beis of that talk we had a few years ago on Chachma Bina with Ashkenaz Sfat. Make like an introduction to this Indian. Maybe we'll talk on Shulis night. But in Seif Yud, these few Seifim here, Rav Kook addresses one of the problems that all those who are learning Rosei Torah encounter, especially beginners, but not only beginners, even advanced students, everybody experiences the frustration of not understanding, of simply not understanding. And when it comes to learning other things in Torah, in Nigla, or Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdalos, no person in his right mind is going to sit with a physics book and to read a physics book and to say, ah, it gives me such an aliyah, unless you understand what you're reading. If you don't understand physics, then what are you wasting your time with physics? What are you sitting there reading a book of physics? It gives me an aliyah. Because it doesn't mean anything to you. Or it doesn't do anything. What does it do? So, even Lahavdil, the other way again, when it comes to Nigla, there is tremendous value to saying words of Torah, even if a person doesn't always get it. And we have a number of Chazals that tell us that. I feel like even if you're Megam game in Torah, Chazals say, even if you're just saying the words and you don't know exactly what they mean, there's a schus that you have. But to have the emes and aliyah, by saying words that are incomprehensible, it doesn't seem to make sense. With anything in the world, when you say something you don't, or you hear, you go to it, you don't understand it. But when it comes to Rosei Torah, it's not like that. That's what Rav Kook begins to explain. You know, Rav Kook's greatest Talmud was Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. And I saw they put out an article of his put out a beautiful, beautiful biography called Shiras Hayam. Beautiful. A lot of pictures too. Beautiful. And they were talking to different Yidden that remember Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalad, who was the Rav of Shari Chesn, who was the Shiva after Rav Kook was Nifty, he was the Shiva of Mekas Rav Kook. So one of the people, so they're talking to a lot of Talmid Chachamim, different people that remembered Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, and there was an interesting little paragraph there where somebody spoke to Rabbi Yehuda Kupman. Rabbi Yehuda Kupman is the head of Mechlala for many, many years. He's the head of Mechlala for girls, the seminary. He himself is a Talmud Chacham. He put out the Meshech Chacham with the notes and the other Sfarim. Very, very chashuv Yid. I think he was born in Ireland, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael many years ago. So he was describing how So people there knew that he had a shaykhus to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, and they asked him, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's enikel asked him about. So he said that when he came, he was in Eretz Yisrael in 1950. Rav Kupman was in Eretz Yisrael in 1950, and he had a friend of his that said, "Shalosudas, I'm going to Shari Chesed." To listen to Bishal Shudas together with Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, and would you like to join me? So Rav Kupman said that for a long time he had heard about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, and he was excited to go, and that he had this friend who was taking him, and he said that he went to Shalosudas, and it was beautiful and dark, and everything was singing. And he said, you know, Yaakov Moshe began to speak, and he said he spoke in Yiddish. And Rav Kuppner said that his Yiddish wasn't gewaldig, but he understood the words. He understood the language. He couldn't speak Yiddish yet, but he understood the Yiddish. But he didn't understand anything that Rav Yaakov Moshe was saying. He was totally unfamiliar with that territory of the language of Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, which is Me'ain, the language of Rav Kook. If you've ever seen, some of you might have looked at the Me'marim, you've seen his Sfarim. It's Me'ain. It's a different, little bit different. But it's Me'ain Rav Kook. So Rav Koopman said to his friend, said, "No, what did you, after Shabbos, what did you think?" So he said, I don't know, you brought me here, I didn't understand anything he was talking. I don't know what he's talking about. So the friend told him, "I didn't bring you necessarily that you should understand what he was saying. Because I didn't expect that at this point in your life you would understand. But I brought you to be in the presence and to hear such things." With Rosei Torah, when it comes, which was flowing out of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's mouth, when it comes to Rosei Torah, Rav Kook explains, one shouldn't be discouraged. One shouldn't feel discouraged by a lack of comprehension. Obviously, you try to adjust yourself to that area, to that inyan, that you can try to have some tfisa of. But he explains, look inside, I see it. Achas mehaneflos shel Talmud Rosei Torah, one of the wonders of learning Rosei Torah, the secrets of Torah, he, shebizman shehadam loymid esainyonim and yisayim halal umitaychahavir regish pnimi. This is the condition, that when a person is learning these things, mitaych ahava, with a feeling of love, veregish pnimi, and a hergish, an inner regish pnimi, a pnimis dika hargasha, he's looking for the bari oilam. He's looking for the Rebbeinu Shlalom. And there's a feeling of ahav in Regish Pnimi. That's how he opens up the Sefer. Afa pisha and then yochel litpaises and yonah b'ahav havana sichlis b'hira. Even though he cannot grasp what he's learning with a clear intellect. In other words, he can't grasp and understand it intellectually. There's something that's missing. There's something that's not there. He gets something, but it's not, which I'm sure Rav Koopman also got when he was listening to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap. It doesn't mean he didn't get anything. He got something, but it's not clear. Nevertheless, somehow, the Rosei Torah have the effect of to be meroimim es kol mahusai. It lifts up the entire person. Meramimim is kol mahusa. The ganze mensch is somehow transformed, is lifted up. And even they say, you can say, what is it about? What did you? I once told this, I had such a nice compliment, even though it looked at the time like somebody that was hearing it sounded like it was a little bit of a shtach that somebody gave me. That years ago, when we were far away, used to have there in the house, used to have a chevra that was coming, and we would talk over Shalshu this time. There was no besmedrish that they had, so they was doing that. And I don't know if there is now either, but back then, so we had a chevra when we were saying Torah, and we were singing and whatever. So there was some bochum that came, and there was a father that was walking from shul, wherever he was. We used to have marv together also, and this father in the house by me. So his father came to pick up, he was walking back, I'm sure he came to pick up his son to go home. The bocher was, I don't know, maybe 17, 16, 17, bocher, a very fine boy. So he came to get him. So the father came a little bit early, and he thought he was ready to be after Marv, but we were still, it was Shabbos, we were still talking, I was saying Torah, so saying chassidus, whatever. So the father came like 15, 20 minutes early, and there's like a straight, you know, really nice yeshiva guy, very, very erlich, fine person. But he didn't ever learn Sfarim HaGadolim. So he came, and he was there for like 20 minutes, a half hour, and then we daved Marv, he ready daved Marv, and he was waiting for his son. And I went over afterwards to say good vach, and to say hello to him. And I walked outside with him. He said to me, I didn't understand a word you were talking about. but I felt good about it. And maybe I don't know what you're talking about, but I felt an aliyah from it. So, you know, if you hear that, and if you hear that from the outside, that might sound like a little bit insulting. I mean, if you're teaching something, you feel a little bit bad if you're not able to get your point across. That means you're not very good at it. So you're being unsuccessful at teaching. That's not the tachlis. Is to not be able to give over something. What's the tachlis? His son understands. But the father never heard these things. And I'm not saying, I wasn't saying over, from every, you understand, I was saying over regular chassidus. But the father said, and then he started to come every week. First he came he would come also a little bit late, you know, then he came, but then he started, then he came, and he would sit down, and he started to have, when it comes to pneumias, Rav Kook says it's one of the ones, it's a pella. Because there's nothing else in the world that works like that. That you have his shroimimus, even though you don't know what's going on. But with Rosh Hashanah, that's how it is. That's what he says. As long as the person is coming, yitach ha'av regish pnimi. If a person is sitting down because he's majoring in Jewish mysticism, you understand, and I'm not going to go into speech number 4255, you know, I've spoken about this many times, but he was going to come there for Jewish mysticism because he's majoring, or he's minoring. He's majoring he's majoring in Spanish literature, and he's minoring in Jewish mysticism, and he's thinking about how he wants to know more about mysticism. So then he doesn't have his remembrance. There were people that were mamash apikorsim. They were writing books on Jewish mysticism, as everybody knows. And they didn't have his remembrance. What kind of his remembrance? The guy didn't change him ki hu zeh. They said, you have people that they can go to the same shul for 30, 40, 50 years, and they didn't make one change in their Yiddishkeit. Nothing changed in their Yiddishkeit. They're going to their shul for 30, 40, 50 years. Nothing changed. It's the same people. Just they got great and they died. The same people. Nothing changed. But when it comes to Rosh Torah, when it comes to Pnimis Torah, it's not like that. When you're in a place where there's Rosh Torah, where there's Pnimis Torah, so then as long as the person is not Chalila, is not someone that's just coming because it could have an effect that it could turn it around. But as long as the person is coming with a Hergish Pnimi, with a Muna and a Hergish Pnimi, not for a college course in mysticism. But he's coming mitach ahav regesh pnimi. Afa pisha enenu yochel lipes zinyonu b'havan esichlis b'hira mikol makom hem roimim miskol mahusai. His whole mahus is elevated. The whole essence of the person is swept up. Yeah, but what about understanding? V'acharkach mavhikim hen yonu malovis oiram. He says slowly, it's a bislach. Might not be then, but he says afterwards, eventually, mavhikim ha'inyonim olavis oiram. The inyonim themselves illuminate, shine into his mind, into his intellect. That's how it is with Rosh Hashanah. B'shas ma'is, you might not get it. But if you're going with the right attitude, then you have an aliyah from it. And what about understanding? This is also one of the niflaos of Rosh Hashanah, is that when the person has the right kavana, the Rosh Hashanah want to connect to that person. In other words, the secrets of Torah find that this is a good candidate. This is one of my people. It's an ish pnimi. He's a bal ragish. So the Rosh Hashanah say, as if they could speak, the Rosh Hashanah saying, this is a home that I have found in this person, and I want to enter into this person's life. So what happens what happens very often with Rosh Hashanah is that even though at the beginning the person doesn't understand, it's not clear, but achakach mavhikim ha'inyonim alav es oyam, they shine their light. The Rosh Hashanah shine their light into the person's mind. Ad shenachle nahare chachma mispashtim alav, until rivers, powerful rivers, nachle nahare chachma, powerful rivers of understanding, of chachma, of wisdom, mispashtim alav, spread all over the person, all over his mind. There are nachle nahare chachma, mispashtim alav. So it's interesting when you look, which I used to, years ago, I used to look at a lot of the books from these professors on Kabbalah things and see this. I'm just saying, a long time ago, I used to look at all these books. And it was interesting how you would find big, big, big geniuses, some of the big geniuses, big professors that know a lot. And they were making mistakes one after the other that even a yeshiva bacha would never make. I'm saying simple mistakes, poshut mistakes that are made, that you find in the writings of these big professors, in the books on Kabbalah and Hasidus, not that anybody should ever look at them, but you find in these books, they're filled with mistakes. I'm saying just in reading and translating, touching up what the Tanya is saying, or the Noam HaLamach, or Rabbi Nachman, just to touch up with the Noam HaLamach also. Somebody came to this past summer, he was reading a book on Rabbi Nachman from a professor, a big professor in Bar Ilan, and he showed me, I didn't want to, but he said he doesn't understand whatever he said, he's a good guy, so I said, what is it like? He showed me the paragraph, and he just didn't understand the simple Lashon HaKodesh in Lakut HaMaran. It was all wrong. Because it was written without that ruach of Ahava and Regish Panimi. It was written with a way of coldness and a way of a doctoral thesis. And therefore, even the Chachma is not a Chachma. That's what you see. That's the point I want to make. That what Kook is saying is that when a person comes to the Rosei Torah Midech Ahava Regish Panimi, even though he doesn't understand, the Rosei Torah want to connect to this person. It's a shidduch, and therefore there's a hispashtus of chachma, that the chachma begins to make its way into that person's mind. Masha'enikain, when a person's whole approach is without ahava, without a regish panimi, so then it's just the other way. Even though he's a smart person, he makes all kinds of errors, intellectual errors, and just in his understanding, it becomes less clear, not more clear. It becomes less clear. And not even talking about a person that's not Shomer Mitzvahs. There are people that are all the Mechalei Shabbos. They write books and teach courses on Pnimius. An Ish Chitzoni can't give a course on Pnimius. That's now become very popular. And that's why when you read those books, when you read these books from professors, they never make you feel closer to the Baruch Shalom. They never make you feel close to the Baruch Shalom. That's why, a long time ago, even though I'm very fascinated by these things, and I'm intellectually curious, I have a big Yetzara for those books, but I stopped a long time ago. I stopped because I felt, even if it wasn't an Apikoros Shemahalach, even if it wasn't an Apikoros, an Apikoros Shemahalach, but I never felt from it any kind of aliyah. I never felt any Yetzaros when I would read these things. It just felt like cold. I always felt a coldness. You know, when you read a sefer, and the sefer is written by an Elich Yid, and someone that comes with a Hav Regish Pnimi, you learn. You walk away. It's like you have to, you know, a good chant, a kugel. You know, you feel good, or maybe, you know, I'm not saying it's, you don't need too much. You need too much. Yeah, same thing with the Rosh. You have to be careful too. You have a warm, good feeling. You feel good. You feel that you had after something that you went a little closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever you read those books, you don't feel anything like that. It's nothing. Even though he made a good point, and it's a nice idea, and you got a little bit of a chiddush or an insight, but no, you never daven better from those books. They never help you daven. But when you read Svarim HaKadoshim, you daven better. Even if you didn't understand everything you're learning, but you daven better after you learn one of the Svarim HaKadoshim. That's how it is, and it's one of the niflos. It's one of the wonders of Rosei Torah. Rivers of wisdom, of understanding, completely cover the person. And through learning this deep, mysterious Torah, this hidden pnimiyus dike Torah, he's moisif which was what? Which was how Bilti Brewer, which was unclear to him in the beginning. What happens as a result of keeping up with that and having this this coming with this approach of Ahavin Regish Panimi? Seichel Boya. It's amazing. It adds more clarity to his life. It adds more clarity to his seichel. And he understands Yiddishkeit more. He understands Niglum more. Even though you could ask Kasha, why would that help? If you're learning things that you don't understand and are unclear to you, why would it later have this effect upon you that things should be even more clear? But that's one of the wonders of Rosh Torah. That by learning this Taluma HaPnimis, this hidden secret, this inner hidden secret, he adds, which is Bilti Brua, which is not clear to him, he adds Seichel Bahir, more clarity. Because Rosh Torah don't only teach you something, they also wash and rinse and clean. When you learn Rosh Torah, you're titling your brain, you put it into a mikveh. And when you take it out, it's clear. Our minds are all busy with the minds are completely filled with all kinds of things. If any one of us would take out our brains and start clapping, would come out, you know, all kinds of things would fall out onto the floor. Mm-hmm. Crazy things, and some things are good things, some things are not so good, but all kinds of things would come out. But it's not a behirus. Bahir means clear. Clear means it's not cluttered. It's not cluttered, it's clear. And a person can understand things in a clear way. It's very hard. That's why you come to a person whose mind is cluttered and you can tell him the simple, simple truth and he doesn't get it. Even though he's a smart person, he doesn't understand it. And even if he understands it intellectually, like you can go to somebody, you can say to a smart person, even a Moshe, you can tell a nice Orthodox Jew who was raised in a nice, with another among people of Shem and Shabbos, and you can tell him that it's not, you know, think about it, my friend. Think about it. Do you think it's the Rasna Hashem that you should go to the movies and watch something like that on the screen? Think about it. I'm just giving you a silly example, but it's a true example. So he'll start to draw you a cup about how he knows that the rabbi also went there, or he says something like, it's not so clear that if he's more of a learned person, he'll say it's, you know, it's not so pushy that if it's not live, maybe you're allowed. And you want to go, you want to just scream at the top of your lungs and say, don't you understand something that is the most obvious thing in the world, that the Borei on the Creator, the one who made you in the Neshama, doesn't want this? So there are two ways of explaining. Either you could say, listen, this is a Musa story going on over here, because the guy has so much Negiya, so he doesn't want to admit. But if we force him down and put on a high intensity lamp on him, and we drip water on his forehead, then he'll finally come to say, it's true, I know it all along. God doesn't want me to go to the movies. I really knew it all along. But I've come over the years to meet, I've met thousands of Jews I don't think, even if you drip water on their head, I think they're going to still see, what's wrong with that? Why, I don't know. Why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want that? I don't know. I I'm a Kanoi, I have a little bit of a Teva Kanoi, so I was someplace at a Shiva, Lo Aleinu. And there was a guy that was sitting at the shiva on a rocking chair, davening Maariv with his legs crossed. All he needed was like a smoking jacket and a pipe. He was saying Krishna with his legs crossed, and he was rocking. Like this. So, I didn't say anything. I was good. I didn't say anything, but I was inside. I was burning. To say. He's a wonderful person. He's going to Dav Marv, and he's going to help with the Shiva. He's a tzaddik. But, and he could find a lot worse things in me than going on a rocking chair, you know. And it's not an Aveira. But, I was clearing after I'm walking out, like, what is it? Is there something so basic that a person doesn't get, that he's already a nice, fine fella? He's going to make a dual mitzvah, to make a minion, and he's davening a Marv. And he's sitting there with his legs crossed, rocking on a chair like he's about to tell a bedtime story to his grandson. And he's davening Maariv. He's saying, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenei, Shema Chod. And at the same shiva that I was at, this person's rabbi during Marv was looking at his BlackBerry. Had his BlackBerry out. Maybe there was an emergency. I was down with Kavskos. And two other people, during the time that that rabbi was saying something between Mincha Marv and Mishnah, a few other people also on their BlackBerries. So you ask, do you think that this is the Rosh Hashanah? So I don't know. So I think a lot of people would say, no, I guess it's not. And a lot of people just first they would get very offended. Who are you or whatever? You're not such a tzaddik yourself. And what are you telling me? And if they, okay, that's a lot. You know, a lot of people that just they have to get past that forest of stuff. And then to say, no, okay, I know you're angry, you hate me, you're never going to talk to me again, and I'm a Russia, I shouldn't have never opened my mouth, and all of that. Emes. But tell me, why do you do that? Maybe you can explain to me, how do you do that? You're a Shomer Mitzvah, how do you do that? How do you sit during Marv? And how do you do that? So one of the answers is that his rabbi is doing it. That's not an answer. I'm asking you. So it's possible, there is such a thing, that a person cannot have the most basic clarity, the most basic, simple olive base that any child would understand. Because if you tell that to a child, he would understand it. Doesn't understand what a child would understand because of how cluttered the mind is. How unbelievably cluttered the mind is with all kinds of different things that as a result of that he simply does not have the behirus hasaychel to have a little bit of wisdom that a little child has, that any little boy in cheder has and understands that you don't sit like that. He can't understand it. And even if you would tell him, he said, I don't know what's wrong, what's the problem, why would God care if I cross my legs? He made me, he gave me two legs, so sometimes I cross them. Well, like, why would God care? But you don't understand what tefillah is, what's davening, what's tefillah. You will never ever have such an inyan in a place where there's rosei Torah and pnimiyas Torah, and with a person whose life is filled with pnimiyas. It can't be, but that's how it is. So what Rav Kook is saying here is that it's remarkable that here the person starts on. I'll get to you, Menachem, in a second. Here the person starts off learning something in pnimiyas. And he doesn't get it. The mind is clouded. But remember, he's coming with a hava and regish panimi, but the mind is clouded. And then an amazing thing happens. It's a pella. Afterwards, after he's done, afterwards, at some point, first of all, he has a feeling of Yisraimus, with the whole mahus of the person is uplifted. Aleph. And beis, in ways that are sometimes obvious, in ways that are less obvious, this person begins to understand things in a very clear way. He's not going to have a... If you explain to this guy that's learning Rosh Torah, he might be doing different things and has also problems. But you could tell him that the Baruch Shalom doesn't want you to sit on a rocking chair with your legs crossed during Marv. And he'll say, of course, it's possible to him. In other words, his mind is clear. And the mind becomes clearer and clearer. That doesn't mean he doesn't have taivas to do this or to do that, and he still has to struggle. And Mitzvah Shem, each of us should help over time. But the clarity of thought, why would the intellect be upgraded as a result of studying something that the intellect itself didn't have? That's one of the neflos of Rosh Torah. The mind didn't get it. And yet somehow, as a result of that, the mind is clear. That's a power. That's a miraculous thing by Rosh Torah. With everything else that you study that you don't understand, it makes you more confused. You have less behirus. When it comes to Rosh Torah, even if you don't initially understand, but it adds to the behirus of Seich. That's a nice. And that every single person can try that. Can try and will see that it's true. It's something you could test. But remember that tonight, Mitoich ahava regesh pnim. So if you're going to test, that's not ahava regesh pnim. Mitoich ahava regesh pnim. Ahava regesh pnim. Menachem, what do you want to say? L'chaim lo'la movies. My 10th grade Rebbe said that. Not to go to the movies. Not to go to the movies, he said. L'chaim, yeah, but that doesn't work nowadays because the movies come to you. Because the movies come, everybody walks around in the Malach movies in his pocket. So you're supposed to do the movies. In those days, you had to go to the movies. Now the movies comes, like it says in the Pasuk, we say on Tisha B'Av. Olam Ma'avis, death has entered through our windows and come into our homes. When we were kids, you had to go to the Malach HaMavis. Sometimes it was in the Sivus Nefesh too, but you had to go to the Malach HaMavis. I told it to you, once happened, we had a bunch of guys that there was a movie that came out that we all wanted to see. It hadn't some pasta, not so nice. This one, I was like 18, 17, 18, some pasta. Mostly it was violence, but there's also some things there that come along, you understand, with the violence. So we didn't want to go anywhere where we lived in Queens. We weren't going to go anywhere in Queens. We didn't want to meet anybody, you know, any adults or anything like that. So we went to Patchogue. You know what that is?
Yes.
It's like the end of the world. It's past Mongolia. What?
How many other Jews were hiding there?
No. I'm telling you what was there. We met a rabbi and a rabbison there. The rabbi and the rabbison, somebody from Queens, we met over there online. I'm telling you, it's a true story. And you know, we never spoke about it after that. But it was one of those things, it was one of those milestones in life that got me thinking about how to change things. The rabbi and rabbison were there. from one of the big shuls. And who knows my family and everything. And so, you have a yitzhak to go over there and say, I get vach, whatever. on the other hand, you know, you don't know who's, you don't want to embarrass him, but it's also embarrassing for you. But he would be much more embarrassed if he's, you know, what's he doing there? But the whole thing was so odd. I mean, we went to the movie, but we just made sure to go someplace, you know, far away from him. So what's going to be? So the Malach HaMavis. Huh?
That story is appointment at Samara.
I know that. Samara?
It's a story. He's supposed to meet death.
Yeah.
So he goes all around the world to avoid death.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you meet the Malach HaMavis, but you're running away. There's stories like that, the tzaddikim said things like that. But that's Olam HaMavis Ma'ar Menenu B'chalon. It came into our palaces, Mavis. Came into our entire lives. Habilti brua seichel bahir umachshavu brua b'derech haifa b'chug haskel also. He says it's an amazing thing. That even though he began with something he didn't understand, it adds somehow to the clarity of his seichel umachshavu brua. His thoughts begin to become clear. He begins to understand things. Even though he can't necessarily explain them, he understands. He understands. There are a lot of things that we understand that we can't explain, but you know that it's true. You know that it's true. And the person doesn't need to have an explanation. You know that it's true. Because how do you know that it's true? Because the seichel is a seichel pashut. Because when you get stuff out of the that's cluttering you, when you get the junk out, which is the Indian of Rosh Torah, that's what it does. It goes like a beam and breaks through all of the junk in the head. So then once that stuff starts falling out of your ears and the mind gets a little bit clear, then there are things that are poshut. You don't need someone to explain to you that this is the way to Dav Marva, that a Jew doesn't belong in the movies. You don't need to have a Lamdan get up and explain to you in the Rambam and the Beis Yosef and the Tur why is it that this is not a good thing to go to the movies. Just you know that's not a good thing. It's why? Because I don't know. It's obvious to me that this is not a good thing. It's obvious to me that this is not a good thing. How do you have that? How is that so obvious to you? Because the seichel is a seichel boy. Because you're beginning to see things clearly. And when you see things clearly, then the things that are obvious that you were ignoring before, that you didn't pay any attention to. So could you imagine if we begin with children from an early age to learn pnimius at their level? From an early age to learn pnimius? That means it's possible to avoid ever getting the head cluttered. That would be great. There are children like that that grow up like that in the world. It's a fantastic way to get started. As opposed to the rest of us that spend their whole life trying to knock some things out. You have children that they're raised in such a way where it's getting harder and harder to do that, obviously. because of the Malach HaMavis. It's getting very hard. But to grow up in such a way, where the mind is clear, can you imagine what it would be like for one of our children to grow up without ever seeing anything on the internet, mm-hmm. or ever seeing anything on a computer, anything? So if your mind is clear, you're thinking, well, that would be terrible, because then you wouldn't be able to Google Amazon and order shoes online, that poor child. But if your head has not been yet totally infected by this sickness, so then you would know that if there could be a child that's raised like that in the world, still to raise a child whose mind has not gotten cluttered, wow. That's, when you meet tzaddikim, you speak, you go and you see, like if you go to Sklana Rebbe's Olbazon sign, you see a tzaddik, you could be there with an old man, and when you look at him, he is as happy as a little boy. He has the face of a little boy. That's the tzaddikim, it's the trademark. Like a little boy. They never got into the whole parasha of Google. Clean. Totally clean. It's a different person. It's a totally different person. So that person, there's a clarity. It's clear. What's emes and what's shaken. He continues with this in Yud Aleph. Kshemistaklim b'rozei tahara shal tayra b'leiv naman. When a person looks into the pure secrets of Torah, again, b'leiv naman, with a faithful heart, b'leiv naman, not because he's conducting an investigation, because he's trying to answer questions, because he is curious, or it's fun, but b'leiv naman. Even though at the time the ruchnistic things that he's seeing in this sefer are only able to be understood or accepted through the koyach hadimyon, through the koyach of imagination. In other words, sometimes even by having images in one's mind, which is one of the dangers of learning Kabbalah, certain things in Kabbalah, where if a person is not ready for it. But the koyach hadimyon means that it's not something yet that the seichel that he can understand intellectually. But there's a koyach hadimyon, the imagination appreciates this, and the imagination is able to have certain images that are beautiful and true. But it's not something that he can explain. It's not something yet that it clicks. And if you could ask him kashas, he wouldn't be able to answer the kashas. So another person that's not coming to the sefer in the right way, like I've heard many times people say, they'll say things like, oh, this is just a lot of fluff. I've heard that word fluff used in this way. That's fluff, whatever. In other words, I've heard people say that about something from the Nehemiah HaMelech, because it's Levi, Hashem Yirachem. What does that mean? This and this means that, and this means this, and this means that. Tell me, you know, whatever I want to hear, what Rashi says in Ibn Ezra, don't remember this fluff. So that's coming completely from the outside, without a Lev Neman, without Emuna, without the Regish Pnimi and Ahava. So all the person hears are words of imagination. And to that person who's on the outside, it sounds like you're talking to him about Walt Disney. He looks, if you read with him a Torah from Nar Meli Melech, to him it sounds like Chas V'Shalom, it sounds like something from Walt Disney. So I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking? What does that mean? What does that mean? So you'll have some of these people, if they're a little bit more learned and they're used to being in yeshiva, so they come to ask right away 20 kashas, like you're saying over to them at Tosis. And when you learn with them in a mail mouth, they come to ask kashas, like they're asking on a Tosis a kash. Because to them, it's all imagination. And in imagination, you could have a lot of kashas. Just like when you have a dream. So you ask a kasha in a dream. How come the elephant went through the eye of a needle? It's a kasha. It's a dream. So in dreams, you have funny things. So that's how an outsider looks at Pnimius HaTorah. Like this guy's dreaming. These are the lashonis that the Chitzonim use. The Chitzonim use these lashonis. It's demyonis, it's fluff, it's dreaming. What is it? What's the pshat? And he has a good kashya. And the person is listening to the kashya and then he feels big. He doesn't have a teretz. The lamdan asks him a kashya and he doesn't have a teretz. He feels bad. Because for the person who has a lev neman, and is an ish pnimi, one second, I'm wrong. So afa bisha dvar maruchni mitztayer b'koyach hadimyon. The ruchni is mitztayer, it becomes painted, and it's drawn in his mind. There is an image, there is a sense of it, but it's b'koyach hadimyon, it's with that koyach, which is the koyach of nevuah, of prophecy, that all Jews have, because we have such a capacity to understand, to have a feeling for some great truth, even though we don't get it. Even though we don't get it intellectually. But Rav Kook says, "Af bisha dvar maruchniyim mitztayrim b'koyach hadimyon misparshim him achakach b'chol orchas haseichel." Later on, they can be explained and understood at some point. B'chol orchas haseichel, and all the pathways of the intellect. B'chol orchas haseichel. U'mishtavim im kol darchi hayigon hatzolu, and they're no different; they're equal to all the ways of logical thinking. In other words, like he's learning, he could understand it the same way when he's learning Tosis. He'll understand it the way he's learning Nigla. Everything works out according to all the Darchi Yigon Hatzol. You think that the Tzaddikim were not logical people? Of course they were. You don't think that this makes sense? Of course it makes sense. So how come the guy asked you a kasha and you can't answer the kasha? Okay. But over time, misparshim hemachakech b'chol orches haseichel mishtavim b'chol darche higoyin hatzolo. Then afterwards, it's like all other pathways of higoyin hatzolo of clear logic. Higoyin hatzolo, pure and clear logic. Avram, what is it? I don't have to answer that.
They're
not happy. No, I'm saying I don't have to answer your question. Go ahead, I'm kidding. That's the answer.
I hear you. They're not feeling it, but then they need you to think about that question. Every time I'm looking at a Tosfos, or and that person's question comes back to me 10 years later. He's already learned Sifrei Chatke.
But you're still hearing his kasha. It's a dibbuk. It's just a dibbuk. So you have to exercise it.
He's developed and seen through it. To me, the answer is you've got to feel it, like Rebbe said.
Yeah.
If you see it, you see Emes, it's not on the plane of Rav and Abaye. If you understand only Rav and Abaye's words, you don't understand where they're coming and where they're going. So you understand Rav and Abaye.
You're 100% right.
And the long term, the world, on Shalom.
100% right.
Then you understand.
100%. That's why for the person who's in the pnimius, the kasha is kind of kasha. It's not a kasha. It's like if you love somebody and someone has a kasha on the person, a kasha.
I asked them, why do you wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
Said, that's proven. Yeah. You have to do it.
Yeah. Because there's ahava. And that's what Rav Kook is saying, that when something is with a hava and a regish pnimi and a lev neman, it's not a kasha. What kind of kasha? Somebody, there are two people, they love each other. So somebody has a kasha. How do you love that person? He's got a long nose. Look, you're right. You know, I never thought of it. I think I'm going to go to Bezin now. I never thought of that. I looked at it, you know, after you asked that kasha, I looked again at his nose. It's a long nose. I never thought of it. I never noticed that. That's how you have to think when you have these lumbden coming with their kashas. I never.
Their own children teach them better than you. Their own
children. Yeah, comes out a lot like that. And no, it doesn't never answer. You just say, "Ooh, it's a good kasha." because they like to hear that. Usually comes together the yeshus and gaius. He says, "Oh, that's a big kasha. It's a good kasha." What's there to talk about? He's talking about your wife, about your brother, about your sister, about your best friend. So he's asking a kasha. I know. I'm the yadat. He goes, "Lashem." He's asking a kasha. But you have dimyonis, he says. Then the lamdan says, "You're baldimyon." Is dimyonis? Yeah. You're 100%. You're always right. 100%. Baldimyon. All dimyonis. The lamdan will spend his entire life eating his kishkas out with his lamdas. And the lev neman is filled with simchas achayim. Even though he can't explain. And if you can't explain it, then it's a bikash. You can't explain it. What's it worth if you can't understand it? And all of your understanding, what is it worth? What do you understand? What's it worth that you understand? But all of this is not against understanding. Rav Kook says, this is not anti-understanding. Chas v'sholom. It's a mitzvah to understand. But what Rav Kook is saying is, don't be discouraged if initially you don't. Keep it up. And be a person with a lev nema, an ish pnimi, regish, ahava. And then Rav Kook says, you'll have more understanding. You'll understand it better. Misparshim hem achaka b'chol orchas ha-seichel u'mishtavim im'kol darcha higoyin ha-sol. Will be perfectly logical. Omnam lo'olam. And there's some things. Rav Kook says, omnam lo'olam. Listen to what he says now. What a magnificent sentence is coming up here. You have to say l'shem yuchid for this sentence. He says like this. Omnam, he says, lo'olam yish'aru, next page, oidfim u'gedoylam yikale pirushim. He says, at the end of the day, the feeling that you had, the dimyon, the hergish that you got, is always going to be stronger than the seichel that you got out of it. It'll always be like odif. You know, odif? Odif means like change, right? Odif means higher, more, preferred, abundant. Amnam la'olam yish'ara oidfim u'gedoylam yikale pirushim. Whatever you'll be able to explain logically, in other words, you came to a point where you get the logic of it, and you can explain it. But in your heart, you know that there's only a small piece of the picture. I can't say this whole thing. That's I can't say the whole thing. The same thing with Moshe, when it's your child, like Avram said, getting up in the middle of the night to take care of your kid. You see it using that muscle that Avram used. You'll see it. You'll have a mother that has with this kid such aggravation. The kid makes her crazy. Mom is 24 hours nuts with this child. And you hear sometimes you'll see that mother, you'll see Nebuch, the mother, losing it and getting crazy and screaming, whatever. And then you'll see another thing, that you'll see that the mother's sitting there and with this child, you look in the mother's eyes, you see the nachas that you can fill the whole Pacific and Atlantic Ocean with this nachas that the mother has looking at the child. So you go and you say to this mother, could you explain to me? I think you're very inconsistent. You look to me like you have some kind of a problem. Because I hear you yelling at this kid, screaming at the kid, and I see the kid's a handful. And then I see you look, you're sitting there like you have the biggest nachas, as if this kid was the Chavetz Chaim, a little Chavetz Chaim. What do you have? So the mother can say to you this. The mother can say to you, Baruch Hashem, the last 15 minutes, Yankel is behaving. It's a chiddush. 15 minutes I had Yankel. 15 minutes he gave me menucha. He wasn't crying, he wasn't whining, he wasn't complaining, he wasn't stamping his feet and whatever. 15 minutes. So then you have it, but you're a lamdan, you understand. So you're not done with it. A lamdan never finishes. So the lamdan has no hakasha. Okay, but that's only 15 minutes. But I can bring you rayas that your kid causes you a heartache for every other minute of the day except for those 15 minutes. And the ahava that I saw in your eyes when you're with your uncle now these 15 minutes was more than 15 minutes worth of ahava, of menucha. I don't get it. It's a big kasha. It's a big kasha. Anybody who asks, it's a kasha, it's a shaita. It's a shtus to ask a kasha like that. 15 minutes, menucha. The mother is giving a teretz. The mother is saying a teretz, because it's a teretz that can make a little sense to the person. What's the teretz? The teretz is, no, I have a little menucha, your uncle's not crying now. So the mother can give a teretz. But is that the teretz? It's a tiny little piece of a teretz. But it's not an answer. The true answer is something that the mother can never explain to this person. That's my child. Yeah, it's 23 hours, 29 hours and 55 minutes worth, 59 minutes worth of aggravation. So then he could say a teretz. If the teretz is, but 1 minute menucha I have from him. 1 minute menucha I have from his kid every day. He gives me 1 minute menucha. And with all of that, that it,
standing in the hospital and all the tsaras,
it's still kedai.
That pain is the issue.
So the mother, right? You're right. So the mother can only say a teretz to try to get this lamdan away, like a fly, get out of here. Stop asking me kashas. This is my child. Why you see me yelling at the kid and fighting with the kid? I'll try not to do that. I'll try to be better. Maybe he'll be better, I'll be better, we'll somehow meet in the middle. But you're asking me a kasha? So I'll empty our teretz. I'll give you a teretz. The teretz is, he was behaving now the last minute. But that's not the teretz. So Rav Kook says over here, he says a beautiful thing. That truth that you know inside, that the Razei Torah are revealing to you, that truth will always remain much, much greater than any logical thing that you could explain. That's the saddest thing when you have one of these Shakti Vatarias with one of these intellectuals. That's the most heartbreaking thing, because you want to say, you know, you're a Yid, I love you, I really, really wish you could enjoy this, because I know that if you would give it a chance, you'd have tremendous honor from it. No, I don't need it. The whole business. The Yulamayan, Yakiru Kolhan Echolim Hegyonim Bechol Hadorim Vegadlum. Shemimeni Yakiru Kolhan Echolim Hegyonim Bechol Hadorim Vegadlum. And from this very mysterious, undecipherable, unexplainable truth that has made its way into you, there will flow forth, there will be a wellspring that from which will come forth all of the rivers of logic and all of their splendor and greatness. Even though you can't explain. That you can't, you'll never get, again, here we're talking about that you already understand, but there's always something more that you can't, that there's always that, there's always that which you can't understand, and that which you can, and even if you do understand, that you can't explain. But somehow, from all of that, there's a wellspring from which come rivers of understanding, rivers of logic of understanding. Therefore, you could have a person that learns Panimius, and he has a much, much, much deeper understanding of human nature, of other people, and you could say there's another person that's much smarter intellectually, could be much smarter, and doesn't understand the most basic things of human nature. We see this all the time. You can have someone that's a genius, that's brilliant, and he doesn't understand the most basic thing about a person. He can't help people and give aces because he doesn't understand the most basic thing, and you would expect that since he's such a genius and he knows so much, that he should be able to explain. You have another person who's an Ish Panimi, and he's connected to Panimius in a very deep way. He might not know as much, and he might not be anywhere as sharp as that person, but he has a Havana. Sometimes you can meet people that are the simplest people. But because they're uncluttered, and because there's that light inside of them, they're able to help and to give aces and to understand in a very simple way, to understand people. And the brilliant person that's so analytical doesn't get it. He can't help. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what it is with. He doesn't understand what is this. And there was, And he can give you aitzes, and aitzes might be very, very intelligent, but they don't do anything. They don't mean anything. Because there's something lacking in that place inside, which is always more than the intellect. There's always something that's more than the intellect. And in that place that's more than the intellect, you can grasp what is it that's hurting another Jew. What's on this person's mind? What's in this person's heart? What can I do to help this person? Rabbi Yitzchak Dvorka, I once told you years ago that Rabbi Yitzchak Dvorka, Schusig in Aleinu, that, you know, he was a big Balmaifis. Big miracles came from Yitzchak Dvorka. A lot of Nisim came from Yitzchak Dvorka. So there was a big Talmud Chacham that didn't understand what was the power of Yitzchak Dvorka's davening, that he was able to bring for people so many yeshuas, people with tzaros and with no children and with all kinds of problems. That Yitzchak Dvorka was like Nisim, we're coming. So somebody came to ask, a Talmud Chacham came to Yitzchak Dvorka, how do you see a tefillah have such kaiches? So Yitzchak Dvorka says, it's not my davening. It's not your davening, so what is it? So he said, Rabbi Yitzchak said like this. He says, I'm learning whatever, and it's time to people are coming to talk to come. So somebody comes into me, starts to cry to me that he lost his parnasa and his child is sick. And I'm listening to him and I don't know what to do for him. But his words make a hole in my heart, mamish. Then this year I just tell him, I give him a bracha, Hashem's bracha should help you, your kids should get better, you should have parnasa without. Then 5 minutes later, another yid walks in, and this one says that my husband is sick, and my cow died, and Rabbi Yitzchak says, I don't know what to do for the person. It makes another hole in my heart. A hole in my heart. He says, then this goes on the whole day. Then when it comes time for me to go to sleep at night, to say Krishna Lamita, he says, I tear off my bekish, my kapata. I pull off my talis cotton, I rip open my shirt, and I pull up my undershirt. And I say, Rabbi Shalom, look at all the holes in my heart. He says, I said, just look at all the holes in my heart. Rachmanis, look at all the holes in my heart. He says, that's what you're asking me, how I'm able to help you, but that's how I'm able to help you. That's what Yitzchak Dvorka said. Now, Yitzchak Dvorka was a genius. He was a huge Talmud Chacham. But he was telling the Talmud Chacham, there isn't a formula like that. Not even with words of davening. B'lev ne'eman, ahava, regesh pnimi, where the person himself becomes a metzias of tefillah, mani tefillah. Rabbi Yitzchak Dvorka says, maybe that's how it works, because Hashem sees that I really have holes in my heart. It really makes a hole in my heart. That's how you could help somebody. That's not something that you could go to school to study. Rabbi Yitzchak Dvorka said that day, you can't go to university and major in making holes in your heart. You can't do that in university. Or the yell of the name. Either you feel it or you don't feel it. You can't major in that. That's the kerech of the tzaddikim, of the Yitzchak Dvorka.